So we're continuing on with the second paragraph of Kabbalah Shabbos. Last week we discussed the first one. So the themes of the first paragraph, there are a few themes of the first one, but it includes singing. There is an element of singing, and then singing then leads to Hishtachavaya. There were three phrases of bowing down to Hashem, and we discussed the concept of bowing down and how important it is to be humble and to recognize that God is in charge and the creator of the world. And then it concluded with the end, which is the part that we sing, concludes with the fact that if we're not good, so then Hashem will not be kind as kind to us as he would if we were good. And we discussed how the relationship is not one directional. It's a two-sided relationship, just like any relationship is, in order to have a good relationship. And so therefore, we are also required to do things for Hashem if we want Hashem to be as kind to us as we would like. That was essentially the first paragraph. Now we'll discuss the second paragraph. And again, in Tehillim, for the first six, it's an order of the Tehillim. Last week we discussed Tehillim 95. Chapter 95. Now we're discussing Tzadivav, chapter 96. It's going to go in order, and those are going to be the first six, and then the seventh is Lachadodi. And we said that the first six represent the 6 days, at least leading up to Shabbos, the 6 days of creation, and then Lachadodi is for Shabbos. That's the Shabbos Mizmor. That's the song that we sing for Shabbos. They all have hints to Shabbos. It's not necessarily true that each one, it's not that today's necessarily has to do with Monday, I don't think. They all have aspects relating to Shabbos, but we just say six to show that we're leading up to Shabbos, of the 6 days of the week, which then lead up to Shabbos. Okay, so let's go through this this parak of Tehillim. Pasuk Aleph, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, Shiru LaHashem Kol Haaretz. So this is a song. So the last chapter also started off with singing, but I think this has more of an emphasis of singing. It says, Shir La Hashem Shir Chadash, we should sing a new song. Shir La Hashem Kol Haaretz, the entire world will sing this song. And then there's a third time that it says Shir, in the next pasuk, in the next verse it says, Shir La Hashem Baruch Hu Shemo, we will sing to Hashem again. Baruch Hu Shemo, we will bless His name. So three times it says the word Shir. It says shiru three times, right? Shiru la Hashem, or at least in as a verb. Shiru, we will sing to Hashem a new song. Shiru la Hashem, kol haaretz, we will sing to Hashem the entire land. And then shiru la Hashem, baruch hu shemo, we will sing to Hashem, we will bless His name. So it says it three times. So I think there's more of an emphasis on the concept of a shir in this chapter of Tehillim. It mentions it also in the previous chapter of Tehillim, which we discussed last week. But there seems to be more of an emphasis here. Why three? Why do we have it three times? So first, what song are we referring to? What song are we singing? So the Mefarshim, the commentators explain that this is referring to Yemos HaMashiach. They're talking about the end of days. That this is the song at the end of days. And that's why this is a Shir Chadash. This is a new... Sorry? It's in the future. It's in the future, yeah. Shir Chadash, it's a new song because this song will be different than the song that we sing today. This will be a new song because in the times of Mashiach, where everything will be revealed, everything that happened throughout history will be revealed, and we will have a Yashrus, everything will be a just world, we will recognize a just world, so that will be a new song. It will be a Shir Chadash, a new type of a song.
So we're singing a new type of song that is about Mashiach?
So this is this is for the time of Mashiach. We're singing it now, but it's really representing the song that we will sing in the times of Mashiach.
That song that we're singing, this particular...
This song is really designated for the times of Mashiach. Yeah, it's designated for the times of Mashiach, which fits with saying it over Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. It has aspects of the next world. And so it's just like in the times of Mashiach, it's a time of rest and peace. And tranquility. So then that's also Shabbos. Shabbos is also supposed to represent those aspects of Olam Haba, when we'll have a time period where we'll have that rest and peace. And there are other connections to the times of Mashiach as well. So this Shir Chadash, this new song, is a different type of song. The song that we sing now is a song of where we're in the moment of history. We don't see all of history. We don't see how everything connects. The Shir Chadash, the new song of the times of Mashiach, is a time period where we will be able to see how everything connects. We'll see why Hashem did certain things in the world. And so therefore it is a new song. It's not the same song that we sing now. We sing songs now, but it'll be a different type of a song because it's a song of clarity. It's a song of understanding. We live in a world where we have less clarity. And so therefore, when Mashiach comes, it will be a new song, a song of clarity.
Well, so I'm a bit confused. Is this psalm the actual psalm that we will sing in the time of the Mashiach, but we will simply understand it differently?
I'm not sure if it's this song, but it's describing the fact that we will have a song in the times of Mashiach,
but
which will be different.
It will probably be a different one than this one.
Probably. This is describing what will take place. It's not describing what we're singing.
Okay.
It's describing what will take place. Why specifically a song? Why are we singing a song? As opposed to just declaring praise to Hashem? Why do we sing songs?
I think that like song or music, from what I've heard, is like a combination of like spirituality and physical. That's how I see music. So maybe it's some kind of mending or like melding of the two in that way. Is that like any?
It's more of a. It puts together physical and spiritual more than just talking.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with angels singing?
Well, the question is, why do they sing also? Why?
It expresses the joy of Shabbos.
Yeah. It's a joy. Singing represents joy as well. That's correct. Yeah.
And it comes from the soul.
It comes from deep inside. It really hits us. The songs are very emotional. They hit us inside. So yeah, that's another aspect of why we sing. I heard an explanation of Shira, singing, as opposed to, let's say, the writing of a story. When you think of songs, so it is possible to stop a song in the middle. It is possible to do that, but because you could just say stop. But the song as a whole is something which goes, it's a unit. Songs are generally a unit. When it comes to praise, so each sentence is more onto itself. A song is really complete and all together. So this new song that we'll be singing is saying how we'll be able to sing everything together, that all of history we'll be able to put together into one song. It won't be that it's different verses and different sentences where we could break it up, but once we have clarity and see what God had in mind throughout history, so then we're going to be able to put everything together. We could say it as one. It won't be broken up and divided. That's just one thought that I heard. The Medrash says that why three? Why three songs?
We're always repeating threes.
It's true. We are always repeating threes.
It becomes
established. So it is. It becomes established. But the Medrash says specifically that it's three because it's Keneged. Chazaka, yeah. Yeah. But it says it's compared to our three tefillahs that we have every day, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. That there are three tefillahs every day, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. And so these three shiras, these three songs, are represent those three tefillahs. And the concept of having three tefillahs, there is an idea of just it being a chazakah, of it becoming established and it becoming a part of you. But beyond that is that the morning, the afternoon, and the night, they really represent also three different types of time periods of our encounter mentally and our encounter with Hashem. So the morning represents clarity and understanding Hashem. Usually the afternoon, the mincha, really represents stopping to recognize Hashem during the busyness of the day, that we stop and recognize we're busy. It's really the middle of the day where we stop to daven. And then Maariv at night, that represents confusion and darkness.
So
and that we daven to Hashem. even during the confusion and the darkness, we also daven to Hashem. So they represent three different types of relationships, different circumstances that we're in, where we should connect to Hashem. And for all three, we should connect to Hashem during all three. During clarity, times of clarity, when we're busy and it's harder to take that time out and stop and recognize Hashem, so we also have to make sure to do that. And then also during times of darkness and confusion, we should still continue that conversation with Hashem. And so the Shira, this Shira represents these three different types of tefillos.
Wow, that's only the first sentence.
That's only the first sentence, yeah.
That's why you said
it's fine, I have nothing else, I'm just going to go on. So.
No, I'm happy.
One last point on this sentence is that it says Shiru in the plural. So we had this also in the last chapter. It says L'chu Niranina, that everyone should gather together to sing. And so this singing also is in the plural. It's not that we don't sing as individuals. We don't sing by ourselves. But we sing as a unit. We sing as the Jewish people. We sing as a community. We all sing together. So that's Shiru LaHashem. We should all do it together. We should sing this song together.
So Rabbi, we can't help but ask them for all women around the table here. If you manage to go out through chakras and got that done, out of the next two times we typically daven as women, what would be the most prioritized?
Between Mincha and Maariv?
Yeah.
Mincha. Okay. You should prioritize
and
Mincha.
Why?
Maariv itself was not obligatory originally.
Okay.
So it's better to, if you had to pick between the two, I would pick Mincha. But it's whatever is...
Available.
Anyways, yeah, whatever's available.
And just in terms of the time and the hours, we would look that up, right? Of what hours?
Yeah, you can look it up, but it's basically a half hour. The first time you can do it is a half hour after the halachic midday, which you can look up. That's the first time you could have mincha, and it goes until basically sunset.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
That's for Mincha.
How many shirai there are in the Torah? Three? Five?
How many shiras are there?
Yeah.
There Shira are a
Dua
bunch.
And Shatayan.
Oh, in Tanakh. You're asking about Tanakh? Yeah. I don't know the number for Tanakh.
No, 10 of them. 10.
10? Okay. So Pasuk Beis. Shir la Hashem Baruch Hu Shemo. We should sing to Hashem and bless his name. Basru miyom liyom yeshivaso. We should talk about it. Levaso, we should discuss it every single day. Day after day, yeshivaso, that Hashem has saved us. This is in verse 2, that we should bless Hashem, and then we should basru miyom liyom. We should talk about it every single day. So there's one theme here of the fact that this has to happen. This has to happen. You have to have consistency. Every single day requires blessing Hashem and the fact that Hashem has saved us. Baruch Hu Shemo is to bless Hashem. It's to thank Hashem for what He has given us, and that is accomplished. The Gemara says, the Talmud says that we're supposed to make 100 brachos over the course of a day. That's what the Gemara says. And the concept there is that it's supposed to be constant. It's miyom liyom, that we're supposed to constantly make brachos to Hashem. We're supposed to constantly recognize the greatness of Hashem in our own lives at every moment. And that includes brachos of just eating. Eating itself, when we eat, we're supposed to make a bracha. So that's supposed to represent...
Why the number 100, though?
I'm not sure why specifically 100, but I think 100 represents... a lot. It represents that it's going throughout the day. Throughout the day, you're constantly remembering Hashem. It's more than three. Three just becomes a part of you. 100 is like it's constant. It's always happening. So that happens when you make a bracha on food. You recognize that Hashem gave it to you. Everything, all the goodness that we have in life. So then you're supposed to recognize that it comes from Hashem. And so that's the Baruch Hu Shemo, that we bless Hashem's name. Through recognizing all the good that Hashem has done to us. Pasuk Gimel. Sapru Vagoyim Kivodo. we should tell the nations of the world of his honor. B'chol ha'amim nifla osav. And to all of the nations, we should describe his wonders, how great Hashem is. So it seems repetitive, right? It says we should tell the nations of his honor, b'chol ha'amim nifla osav, and to all the nations of the world, we should talk about how great Hashem is. So it seems to be that it's repetitive. So the Malbim explains that it's not repetitive. It says there's a difference between goyim and amim. They both in English probably translate as nations.
Nations and peoples.
This is in verse 3. Nations and peoples. But it seems to be the similar translation. And he says that, he explains that goyim are the people that they don't recognize Hashem. They don't recognize Hashem. And so when people that don't recognize Hashem, so then you just have to describe Hashem's honor. The fact that there is a God and that we have to respect and honor God. For those, Amim represents those that do recognize Hashem. And once somebody recognizes Hashem, so then you have to not just tell them that there's a God, but also describe his wonders, that you describe how God interacts with the world. Which is an interesting idea. It means that you have to teach based on where everybody's, the level that everybody's at. That for those people who don't recognize Hashem, so then you have to take them a step up to tell them about God. For those who already understand God, so then you take them a step up and describe God's wondrous deeds. Yeah,
one second. This is a point of interest. So I teach at Beth Israel, the Hebrew school.
Yeah.
So I have 7 students, and almost all boys, except for one, which is fun in and of itself. But some of them are so cute, and after a while I was like, so where's your mom from? And one kid is from Sweden, and one kid, like, in short, 4 out of the 7 students are not Jewish.
Really?
And those are the ones that almost always come, the not Jewish ones. So
they're not Jewish at all? Neither
their
parents?
Their mother's converted. Uh-huh. They don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep kosher, they don't keep anything. So, right?
Yeah.
So my friend suggested to me that I should, like, you know, change the curriculum on the 7 Noahide laws, which is what I'm doing. And it's nice. It's good. Yeah.
I have a question. I mean,
there's a book out there, you should know. There's a very fat book on 7 Noahide laws. Yeah.
That's helpful. Okay.
I understand that as Jews we don't proselytize, but this almost sounds like proselytization.
Oh, so excellent question. So I'm about to explain that now. So there is a big discussion about whether we are supposed to go out there and teach the non-Jews about God and the 7 mitzvot that they have to keep.
The 7 mitzvot, not sure.
What?
7 mitzvot, not for sure.
There are 7 mitzvot. There's a question as to whether we have to go out there and teach it to them. So that itself is a big discussion, but because they should know about the relationship that they have with Hashem. They also have their own relationship with Hashem. But this specifically is referring to the times of Mashiach. That in the times of Mashiach, everyone is supposed to recognize Hashem. So now we don't have to go out necessarily and tell the whole world about it.
Okay.
It is just for you to know. Lubavitch is very into publicizing the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach.
Yeah.
This was one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's big things. In fact, I think Education Day in America is on his birthday, I think. Birthday? Or your birthday? One of the two?
His birthday.
His birthday. Because of this, because he wanted to, you could tell this to your students.
Okay.
But so nowadays it's a discussion. I think most hold that you don't have to go out there and publicize the fact that they have to keep the Sheva Mitzvot in Noach, but there are people that do. There are groups of people that, you know, they believe in the Torah, and they don't feel like they have to convert, but they just keep the 7 mitzvot.
But Rabbi, if we don't teach it to them, who do they learn it by? Like their own pastor or something? Is that something that they learn?
No, if they come to us, so then we can teach it, but we don't have to.
Are their teachings, are they taught that in their own religion? Is what I'm asking.
About the Sheva Mitzvot? No, they're in.
There is a movement of people who believe in it.
Yeah, there's a movement like that.
Noah,
yeah.
Whatever they call it.
No offense or something like that.
And then YouTube on Noah Chaylo is like,
yeah.
So Catholicism doesn't recognize
this? All 7, they represent, some of them are, I'm sure they do. Do not murder, do not steal, that's part of it. But others, I'm not sure if they teach the other ones.
Okay.
Belief of, in God is one of
belief
the
in God
seven.
Is yeah, it's one of them. Yeah. Yeah, creative justice system. So, but this pasuk is referring to the times of Mashiach. So, in the times of Mashiach, we're supposed to go ahead, and the entire world is supposed to recognize Hashem. It's not just the Jewish people, but everyone is supposed to recognize Hashem in the times of Mashiach, and that's why we're supposed to go out there and tell others about it. And that's what this verse is referring to.
Okay.
Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Ki gadol Hashem umolal ma'od, norohu al kol Elohim. We have to go out and we have to tell the nations of the world about how great Hashem is. The fact that Hashem is great and He's above all other powers. And this is what we discussed last week as well. Powers means either other leaders of the world, kings, natural powers. Hashem is above them. Verse 5. Ki kol Elohei ha'amim elilim v'Hashem shamay masaf. For the God of the other nations are nothing. They don't really exist. They're just idols. V'Hashem, but Hashem, our God, shamay masaf. He's the real God. So we have to teach that to the nations of the world about Hashem, the fact that Hashem is the real God. Pasuk Vav, verse 6.
Wait, that's a problem. Like that isn't that a problem?
To teach it to them?
Yeah, like they believe in their God. Why can't we just let them believe in whatever their God? Like who?
No, why? First of all, this is referring to the times of Mashiach.
Okay.
And in times of Mashiach, we say this in Alena. We say it in multiple places. Like we want the entire world to recognize Hashem, and it's not a bad thing to tell other people. But if you have the ability to actually make an impact on somebody else and to tell them about Hashem, it's not a bad thing to do that. You don't have to necessarily go out of your way, but if you have a coworker, if you have a friend who's willing to listen to you, so it's not a bad thing to tell them about Hashem. I don't know. You might not want to start that conversation. It might be an awkward conversation, but
I mean, I know someone who's really interested in our religion.
Yeah.
Very intrigued, and you know, when he speaks of God too, but. How do you? Well, it's not for now. Okay, never mind.
How do you talk to them about it?
Yeah.
If they're willing to listen, you could talk to them about it.
No, you have to know what to say.
Okay.
I want to talk. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, verse 6, Pasuk Vav. Hod v'hadar lefanav. There is glory and majesty before him. Meaning not him, but before him there is glory and majesty. Oz v'sifaris b'mikdasho. Strength and splendor are in his Beis HaMikdash. In his Mikdash, and referring to the base of Mikdash. Okay. So this is not referring to Hashem himself, but it's referring to what's in front of him. And so it says, Hod v'hadar is in front of him, beauty is in front of him. Oz v'seferes, strength and splendor is in his Mikdash. So the simple explanation is that it's referring to the base of Mikdash, to the temple. The temple is beautiful. It's a beautiful temple. But there's a deeper explanation, which is that Hod v'hadar lefanav, the splendor is in front of him. What's in front of him? What is that hod and hadar? What is that glory that's in front of Hashem? That's referring to us. It's referring to us, the Jewish people, that we are the ones that are in front of him. And we, because we're in front of Hashem, we become greater because of it. The way we become great is when we recognize that we're standing in front of Hashem, when we serve Hashem, so then we ourselves become great. It's not just that Hashem is great, but then we also become, we have that hod and hadar, we have that splendor, which is a beautiful idea. We don't believe, in contrast to other religions, we don't believe that man is destined for weakness and for sin. We mess up sometimes, but in the end of the day, we strive for greatness. By becoming godlike, we then become great. And that's what we believe in. That is one of the biggest differences between us and the Christian world. That
there's very big contrast that many Christians believe that people are born in sin, and yet it says in Tanakh that we are created in His image. So
yeah.
The two don't reconcile.
Yeah. So this is a very important point, that Hod v'hadar lefanav, that we stand before Hashem. When we stand before Hashem, we have glory, and it's important for everyone to recognize that. We become great when we're standing in front of Hashem. The Malbim explains that what's the difference between Hod and Hadar and Oz and Tiferes? These are all different descriptions of greatness, of glory and majesty and strength. So the Malbim explains that Hod and Oz, the first two descriptions of Hod and Oz, that's inner beauty. That's inner beauty, and a Hod and Teferes is the how you relate to others. It's your outer relationships with others. That's Hadar and Teferes. So Hod and Oz is on the inside, and Hadar and Teferes is how you relate to people on the outside. Hod and Oz is referring to how you are on the inside. That's the first two of each phrase. The first word of each phrase, Hod and Oz, represents your inner beauty, and Hadar and Teferes represents how you relate to people on the outside. This is in verse 6, yeah. Glory and strength. The glory and strength is the inside. Majesty and splendor is the outside. Okay, verse 7, Pasuk Zayin. Havu Hashem mishpachos amim, havu Hashem kavod va'oz. So we should gather the mishpachos amim. This is repeating the theme that we're having here about we're supposed to spread this to the nations of the world. So havu Hashem mishpachos amim, we're supposed to gather the families of the nations of the world, and to describe to them the kavod and oz, the greatness of Hashem. So again, this is the general theme of this parak, of this chapter, that this is referring to the times of Mashiach, where everyone will recognize Hashem, and so it is our job also to spread it to the nations of the world. During the times of Mashiach, we're supposed to let everyone know about the greatness of Hashem. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Havu l'Hashem kavod shemo, so ascribe to Hashem the honor of His name, su'u mincha uva'u l'chatzrosav. You should bring a mincha, you should bring a tribute, a gift to Hashem, and enter into His chatzrosav, into His chatzer, into His courtyard. And the basic explanation of His chatzer, of His courtyard, is again referring to the Beis HaMikdash. But another explanation that's given is that the chatzer of Hashem is not just the Beis HaMikdash, it's the entire world. The entire world is the chatzer of Hashem. We are here to serve Hashem. So we can serve Hashem anywhere. It's not just in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not just in our shuls, where our shuls are nowadays viewed as a Mikdash Ma'at, a miniature Beis HaMikdash temple. But it's not just in shul where we serve Hashem. We serve Hashem through everything that we do. We represent, we're created in God's image. And so we represent Hashem wherever we go, wherever we walk. And so that chatzer, that courtyard, is referring to anywhere in the world, not just the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Tes, verse 9.
Is this a bow? To the whole world?
Uvo l'chatzrusav. I think it would be to serve within the whole world. That we go out to serve in the whole world. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Hishtachavu l'Hashem b'hadras kodesh. We should bow to Hashem in holiness. Chilu mipanav kol ha'aretz. And that will cause trembling. So we bow down to Hashem in holiness, and then chilu mipanav kol ha'aretz, and then this will cause some amount of fear. This causes fear. So what's this connection? It says that we'll bow down to Hashem b'hadras kodesh in holiness, and then the next phrase has to do with fear. What's the connection between the two? So if you go to the bottom of the page, to the second source here, this is a Gemara. This is from the Talmud. From Brachos 30b, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says, "Mehacha." This has to do with the general context, but he says, "Hishtachu laHashem b'hadras kodesh." He quotes our verse 9, "Hishtachu laHashem b'hadras kodesh." You should bow down to Hashem b'hadras kodesh. He says, "Turn the page. Al tikri b'hadras, ella b'charadas. Do not read it in the beauty, but rather in trembling." It doesn't mean. You shouldn't translate it as in beauty, but in charada, in trembling. I'll explain this in a minute, but the Gemara, the Talmud learns from there that when we daven, when we pray, it has to come from a certain atmosphere of of environment of charada, of trembling.
Yirat Hashem.
Of Yirat Hashem, exactly. Of, I wouldn't say fear, but I would say probably more of awe.
Awe, yeah.
Awe more than fear. That, and that's the Kedusha. It's not saying that we should get rid of the word of Kadosh, but the Kedusha, the holiness, comes from a sense of awe of Hashem, or really the other way around, that once we recognize that Hashem, how the holiness of Hashem, so then that will create a sense of awe, that we have this awe of Hashem. And that's from Pasuk Tes, and that's something to recognize. It's referring to bowing down in the base of Mikdash. It's also something to recognize whenever we enter into our shul. When we go into the shul, it's a place of awe. When we daven to Hashem, there's supposed to be that feeling of awe as we daven to Hashem.
What? Bechadra.
What?
Bechadra.
What does that mean?
Yes.
So the Talmud explains that it means charada, which is to have awe.
Charada
is awe.
Very profound fear.
Fear?
Fear. Yeah. But
it's
fear out of Yirat Hashem, which is
it's fear out of recognizing the greatness of God. Okay. It's not just fear to be afraid, but it's to understand the greatness of God.
I think it's realizing your own humility.
Yeah, it's also definitely much. Yeah, that, okay. Exactly. Okay. Pasuk Yud 10, Imru Vagayim. So again, declare to the nations. So you constantly see this throughout this parak that it's about declaring it to the nations of the world. Hashem Malach, Hashem is our King. Af Tikon Tevel Baal Timot. The world will stand firm. It won't be shaken. That the world will continue to exist. Yadin amim b'meisharim. Hashem judges b'meisharim with yashar. Yashar means straight. In a straight way, with exactness. That Hashem is just, and that's again we're referring to the times of Mashiach, where we could tell the nations. We'll be able to understand Hashem's actions throughout history. We'll be able to tell the nations of the world, Hashem acts through yashrus. He acts through straightness and proper justice, and so that's what we're telling to the nations of the world. So again, this all relates to Shabbos, because Shabbos is me'ein ha'olam haba. It represents the next world in this world. That's the one time of the week where we could. Try to experience the next world in this world, and that's done through Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of rest, where we could reflect on the previous week, where we could take that moment to stop and think. So that's the connection to Shabbos for this whole chapter. Yud Aleph 11, yeah, verse 11. Yismuchu Hashemayim. So after we understand that Hashem is just, our reaction, and not just our reaction, but the reaction of the world, is Yismuchu Hashemayim. The sky, the heavens are happy. V'sagel ha'aretz, and the land is also rejoicing. Yiram hayam umlo'o. There is shouting going on. There is happiness and rejoicing going on in the world. So that's what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. Everyone is going to be rejoicing throughout the world. What's the difference between simcha, happiness, and gila? In verse 11, we have two phrases for happiness: yismuchu hashamayim, that the heavens, the skies, will be happy; v'sagel haaretz, and there will be rejoicing on the land. So, why two different words for happiness and rejoicing? What's the difference between simcha, happiness, and gila, rejoicing?
One might be spiritual or emotional, and the other one might be physical. You rejoice by singing, by dancing.
Okay, that's interesting.
Gila from inside.
Gila from inside.
Well, the simcha part.
The
we
simcha.
Always say, no, we only have simchas. But somehow,
but it says exalt. Exalt is... Maybe the heavens rejoice in one way and people rejoice and people are happy in a different way.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, maybe people are happy in a different way. How are people, how is the happiness of people different than of the heavens, of the spiritual world, let's say?
People laugh.
Shemaim is
people
laugh.
They laugh. Okay, what do you mean by that?
I don't know, but but somehow I was assessing the other day, like, laughter seems to be a thread in Judaism, like it's not as well.
Okay.
There's also Olam Haba, so the heavens could refer to those who are already in Olam Haba, and rejoicing are those who are present alive on Earth.
On
so
Earth.
Well,
okay.
So angels are different than people.
Angels are different, yeah.
Rejoice in a different way than human beings.
Right.
I think in Simcha there's element of holiness because...
talk to everybody.
I think Simcha has element of holiness because Shabbat is Oneg, but Moadim is Simcha. So it's some special light from
it's a it's a happiness. It's a
holy higher level. But Gil, you said Gila and Ditsa for when a couple gets married, it's on the earth.
Yeah, so here it's also, it says simplas for the Shemaim, and Gila, rejoicing, is on the ground. It's interesting that you mentioned laughter. One explanation for Simcha, the difference between Simcha and Gila, is that Simcha is a constant happiness. It's constant.
Content.
And yeah, content. And that happens in the spiritual world, that there's constant happiness, because they recognize... everything that happens, so they're able to constantly be happy. Gila ba'aretz, gila is temporary. It's not constant, but it's temporary happiness. It's not just a state of being happy. It's not a state of content, but it's a moment. It's a moment of happiness.
Yeah. I was saying that, Rabbi.
You
I
were saying that?
I said it out loud, yeah.
Oh.
No, I said, well, I was on the theme, though.
Yeah, it's the same theme. No, it's a good thing. Yeah, okay. There you go.
She's so in tune.
It covers everything here.
Yeah.
Covers everything. Sky, stone,
yeah.
Trees.
It covers everything. It does.
Everything.
We'll see that it's going to cover everything. 12, let's see. Verse 12, Yabez. Ya'alo sadai v'chol asher bo. The sada, the fields, will also rejoice. So we have the skies, the land,
exactly.
The water,
covers
the fields,
everything.
And aziranenu kol atzayar. And then the rejoicing will also happen through the trees of the forest. The trees of the forest will also rejoice.
Just believe and rejoice.
And then finally, verse 13. And then I'm going to go back to verse 12 after reading Yud Gimel, verse 13. Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Kiva, he will come. There will be the Hashem will come. Kiva lishbot haaretz, yishbot teva b'tzedek ba'amim b'emunaso. Hashem will come to judge the land, ba'amim b'emunaso, and its people in faithfulness. Why does it repeat kiva kiva? Why does it say it twice that Hashem will come? And so I believe it's the Malbim also, but I'm not 100% sure. The Malbim I think says that. There, Hashem comes once. Hashem is always here, but it represents two comings of Hashem. One is where He's coming to judge the world. In the times of Mashiach, Hashem will judge the world. It'll be the ultimate judgment of the world, the final judgment of the world. But in addition to that, so once Hashem judges the world, so then everyone will have emunah, everyone will have faith in Hashem. And so the second coming of Hashem is that everyone will recognize Hashem. Through Hashem judging the world, that will come to a recognition of Hashem. People will realize who Hashem is, the greatness of Hashem, and how Hashem is a just king and God, and how he wants to do good in the world. So through judging Hashem, through Hashem's judgment, it will then lead to a greater trust in Hashem, which I think ultimately will then lead to the simcha that we're referring to. Once we recognize that Hashem judges, and that it's a proper judgment, and we will recognize, we'll have more belief in Hashem. So that will ultimately lead to the simcha of rejoicing with Hashem, with being in the presence of Hashem. And what does that represent? How do we have that today? That's how we have the Yom Tovim, the holidays of Tishrei. We have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day. It's the day of judgment. Through judgment, we have... The judgment day is not just for Hashem to judge us, but it's for us. For us to have that that every year we have that time where we take time of our lives to recognize that Hashem is in control of the world. And so we have that on a yearly basis to have that moment where we stop. And then after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right after that comes Sukkos. Sukkos is Man Simchasenu, the time of our Simcha. So this is not just me, but if you turn the page, and with this we'll end. If you, I apologize, I don't have it translated. So bear with me. This is a Medrash. The Medrash says as follows, and this is all from coming from the Tehillim that we just read. It says, "Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon." You should take for yourselves on the first day. That's referring to Sukkos, that you should take the lulav and the esrog. You have to pick up the lulav and the esrog on the first day. That's I skipped the first two words. Davar Acher. Turn the page. Next page. On the second page, the second source, Davar Acher. This is within the Midrashim, so that whenever they have a new Midrash, it says Davar Acher. That you should take for Lukatam Lacham Bayom Arishon, you should take for yourselves on the first day, referring to Sukkos, that you should take the Lulav and the Esrog. So the Midrash explains, why are we taking it? Hadehu Dechsev, because it says, it now quotes our verse that we just mentioned, Ya Lo Sadai V'chol Asherbo. The entire field should praise Hashem. What is Ya Lo Sadai? Ya Lo Sadai Zeha Olam. When the fields are rejoicing, it's referring to the world. The world will rejoice. Shenamar vayhi biyosam basada. When they were in the field, it's referring to the world rejoicing. V'chol asher bo, everything inside of it. What is that referring to? Elu habrios. That's referring to people, the creations of the world. The creations of the world will also rejoice. I'm skipping to the next line. And then it says, the next verse in our chapter of Tehillim, it says, Az yiranenu atzei hayar. Then the trees of the forest will rejoice. What are the trees of the forest referring to? Omar Rabbi Acha says, hayar, it's hayar, but it's also, it says, kol atzei hayar. Not just the trees of the forest, but all of the trees of the forest. So what are all the trees of the forest referring to? Hayar, the forest is referring to Elu Ilanos Sheosim Peros. It's referring to the trees that grow fruit. It's referring to trees that grow fruit. V'chol atzei hayar Elu Ilanos She'enan Osim Peros. All of the trees are referring to also the trees that do not bear fruit. So all trees of the world, those are the trees that bear fruit and also those that do not bear fruit. So all the trees of the world will also rejoice. So the Medrash explains that our verse is saying that the world is rejoicing, people are rejoicing, all the trees are rejoicing, those that have fruit and those that do not. And that's represented by the fact that we pick up the lulav and the esrog. That's representing all the different types of the trees. And we pick them up and we rejoice with them. When do we rejoice with them? And this is the key line here in the last two lines of this Medrash. Lifnei mi. In front of whom are we rejoicing? The verse said, Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Lama, why are we rejoicing? Kiva b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. Because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur just came. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur just came. That's being in the presence of Hashem. That's the point where we have that highest presence of Hashem, awareness of Hashem, as Hashem judges us. That's what the very last line says. I'm not going to read it, but the very last line says, Hashem judges us on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. After that judgment, we recognize that Hashem is a just God and King. That leads to greater trust in Hashem. That trust in Hashem then leads to Sukkos. Sukkos is a time where everyone is praising Hashem. Not just people, but we use our lulav and esrog also to praise Hashem. The entire creation of the world is praising Hashem, is rejoicing, and singing with Hashem on Sukkos. And that's also what will happen b'Yemos HaMashiach, in the end of days, where the entire world will be able to recognize Hashem and praise Hashem. So just to conclude, the theme, there's a lot, I know. Sorry.
The theme. The time when all the nations will come to Har HaBayit will be Sukkot.
That's also, yes, correct. The Sukkot also represents that. But the theme of this chapter is about singing, recognizing Hashem, rejoicing, but not just us as Jews, but it's also the entire world. That's spreading it to the entire world. In the times of Mashiach. And Shabbos represents that time period of Shira, of singing, and of recognizing God in our lives, because we have that day of rest, as it's Me'ein Olam Haba, represents the times, the ultimate times of Mashiach.
So, thank you. So I'm thinking of.